This week on the show, Jimmy Murphy joins us for a Bruins playoff preview and another edition of Take Jeopardy. Calling it starts right now. Hello, hello. This is Calling the Podcast, Alex Barth, Alex Lebowitz. It's 40 degrees outside, but it must be spring, Lebowitz, because you got Bruins playoff hockey right around the corner.
Yeah, it's great. It's supposed to be in the 60s later this week. No more snow, hopefully.
So before we get into... Hey, careful.
I know.
It snowed on Friday.
That is true. Oh, jeez.
It's going to be snow in July because of you.
That would be hilarious.
This is just how we open every show now, is me blaming you for the snow. I will encourage everybody, before we get into this interview, if you want to have some fun, go back to our shows from end of September, beginning of October, when we talked about the Bruins being a joke this year. But with that being said, let's get into the playoffs. Joining us on the phone, he runs CLNS Bruins and Murphy's Hockey Law. It is Jimmy Murphy. Murph, how you doing this morning?
I'm good, guys. Just ready, you know, getting psyched for the playoffs. My favorite time of year. Hopefully, it can start feeling like spring outside. But as long as the Stanley Cup playoffs are going on, I'm happy.
So let's start with the question that everybody wants the answer to before we get into the nitty-gritty. Outside of Brandon Carlo, of course, we saw the horrific injury he had. Are the Bruins going to be full go for round one?
Well, you know what? I actually was unable to attend Don Sweeney's presser today that he had just because of some other work I had to do. But I have been kind of keeping tabs on Monday. And the Bruins are tweeting stuff out. And he said it looks as if Rick Nash, Corrali, and potentially Riley Nash as well will be back for game one on Thursday. So that's a good sign.
And Tuukka Rask this last week of the season, not as sharp as we're used to seeing. Do you have any concerns about him going into this first round?
Is that where we're going to go here? We're gonna get on the blame Tuukka train?
No,
he's been waiting to ask you that question for weeks.
I knew it would get a rise out of you.
Yeah. Is Mike Felger with you too or no?
He's right next to me, yes.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, guys, was he as sharp as he or the team or the fans would hope he would be? No, he wasn't. But, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, like, I look at it this way, and this is – and it's not just with Tuukka Rask. It's in any city, whether it's, you know, let's say in baseball or hockey when, you know, a team's struggling and they pin it on the pitcher, they pin it on the goalie in hockey, or even you could say in football on the quarterback, right? And I get that. That's part of those positions is, you know, a lot depends on you. And at times you're the kind of the last line of defense or offense, so to speak, depending what, what sport we're talking about. But, you know, I just think it's hilarious in this town. You have to lie. Before it used to get me ticked off. Now I just kind of laugh at it. Like, no matter what this guy does, he's going to get blamed. And he's never going to win the respect. I seriously think if he was to get a Conn Smythe trophy and the Bruins won the Stanley Cup, I still think that next year, if they got off to an 0-3 start, he'd trade Tuukka talk again. I just, for some reason, and, you know, I think that a good portion of the sports media here in Boston is part of it, I just think he's been unfairly scapegoated throughout his career here. And people forget what he did. Yeah, they swept the Pittsburgh Penguins in 2013 to get to the Stanley Cup final there. But people forget that, you know, with Claude Julien and a lot of Penguins players, I think, you know, who was the coach then for the Penguins? Was it Bilesma, I think?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, and I remember him just saying, you know, both Julien and Bilesma and Sidney Crosby, and I remember interviewing other Penguins. They also, like, this wasn't a sweep. This felt like a seven-game series, and the only difference was their goalie delivered and ours didn't. And, you know, people forget that. They forget how amazing he was in that run. And in more recent memory, they're forgetting how amazing he's been all season. I mean, this guy has been arguably the best goalie in the NHL since November 26 when he returned from injury. And, you know, has he had some off nights? Has he let in some stuff? Sure, yes, but he's human. But I look at the team in front of him, and if you want to worry about something going into the Stanley Cup playoffs right now, you better worry about the Bruins' defense because it's an absolute mess right now, absolute mess. And you're playing a team that's going to make you pay for turnovers. And when I say pay, they're going to embarrass you with the way they will capitalize on those turnovers, scoring highlight reel goals from the likes of, you know, Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner and what have you. There's a lot of speed, a lot of skill on that opposing team right now. And I don't know if the Bruins were playing to play them or not. I don't think teams do that, but I saw a lot of media and a lot of fans getting a little too cocky, saying, oh, we'll beat any team and no problem with Toronto. Apparently, they didn't watch the series with Toronto this year because it was very close, and I think Toronto, out of all the division teams, played them the best. So right now, I don't like the way things are looking right now for the Boston Bruins, and I don't think Tuukka Rask is the main part of it. He needs to deliver, but I think it's just the team defense in front of them right now.
And that leads us perfectly into the next question, Jimmy, and again, it's Jimmy Murphy from CLNS Media. When the Bruins lost on Sunday night, they fell into the second seed in the Atlantic, changes their playoff opponent from the Devils to the Maple Leafs. How much did the Bruins hurt themselves by losing on Sunday night?
A lot. You know, like I was just saying, I think the manner in which it happened, the manner in which the last week of this season went down and how it was played, I get these guys are tired. I get that they're, you know, I get the mentality of like, look, We've kind of gone way above expectations anyhow. We should be happy with where we are, whether it's the first or second seed. I understand that it's human nature that they could think that way and that the fatigue can help them think that way as well. And they're all battered up. And they, look, no one's going to question the Bruins' guts and the Bruins', you know, passion and the way they battled through injuries in this last month and a half to 2 months of this season. And even you go back to the beginning of the season, I mean, we mentioned Rask was out, Bergeron was out for a time. I mean, this team was amazing in the face of adversity and injuries. And, you know, I kind of wonder if there have been more guys hurt in the last week. Maybe they would have played better. Who knows? Because it seems that's when they rise to the occasion. So maybe we don't want a healthy lineup for the Boston Bruins. But I just think that, you know, combined with how this looks, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, to be potentially the toughest opponent they could have faced. I think they're tougher than Tampa Bay. I think the Bruins would have destroyed Tampa Bay. I really do. I think they're in the heads of the Lightning. Yeah, Tampa dominated that game last week, but I think that was one of those games where you knew Tampa had, they were going to get laughed out of their own building if they had lost that game. They had pride on the line, and the Bruins had kind of gone into that coast mode, and you just sort of saw that coming. But Toronto's a tough team, and I think you combine that with sort of this laissez-faire approach that the Bruins have had recently, I don't like the looks of this at all. And that's why, I mean, I'm already on Twitter picking the Maple Leafs in six, and people are going to hate me for it. But you know what? Hey, the last time I picked against the Bruins in the first round, they went on to win the Cup. So there you go.
And still, the Bruins have had a great turnaround this season, obviously, with going with Bruce Cassidy and Don Sweeney over Claude Julien and Peter Chiarelli. I want to ask you, Bruce Cassidy's gotten a ton of credit, but who do you think deserves more credit for this turnaround, Don Sweeney or Bruce Cassidy? Obviously, a much different roster. Who deserves more credit in your mind?
It's a good question. I mean, and I don't know if I can answer it right, because they're kind of in two different roles, you know. And it's kind of, but at the same time, they're almost in the same role and they're teammates, so to speak. You know, I think, you know, you look at Sweeney. I don't agree with every move he's made, but one thing I love about him, and obviously, I mean, he looks great right now because it's all panning out, but, you know, the one thing I love about him, whether it pans out or not, he stands by his moves. And, you know, he gives good reasons for it, and he kind of makes you see it from his perspective. And I think that's one of Bruce Cassidy's strengths as well. I mean, we all know how honest he is with the media and the public, and, you know, how he really gets in depth on a decision he made or makes or is going to make. And I think sort of that approach is not only great for us in the media or for fans. I think it's great for the players because everyone's on the same page. And I thought in the beginning of Sweeney's tenure, I think that was the main issue. And I think that was just sort of a trickle over from the whole situation sort of spiraling out of control at the end of Chiarelli's tenure here. And I think, you know, there was just a lot of internal strife, so to speak, whether it be in the management or coaching ranks. And, you know, that goes back. And look, you can't dig up the past, and I'm not going to say that it's really affecting them that much now. But, I mean, at the time, that's why I just never understood. Like, if you're going to fire Chiarelli, they need to fire Julien. Because it was almost like, you know, the relationship we're talking about here with Sweeney and Cassidy, it was as tight between Chiarelli and Julian. And when you left one guy there in the midst of sort of a new regime, we all know how the GMs want to bring in their own guys and everything. And that's why. It's just, it's awkward. And once they, you know, got Cassidy in, you could see that there's a great chemistry between the two. And there's a really solid understanding in terms of philosophy, in terms of how to utilize the roster, as you pointed out. And so I give it, it's kind of an even grade for me. I think they're both responsible for the success they're having, and I think they do a great job working together and communicating to the players of what they're trying to do.
Again, we're talking to Jimmy Murphy of Murphy's Hockey Law and CLNS Media. You talk about the way they built this team here, Jimmy, and they have – it's interesting because they don't really have any guys smack dab in the middle of their career. They have the older veterans on the back end of their prime and Bergeron, Marchand, if you want to throw Chara in there, and then the really young kids who are in their first or second year in the league. Given that dynamic and what they've done this year, how short is the Bruins championship window as it stands right now? If they can't get it done this year, how many more chances will they have with Bergeron and Marchand and Chara?
Well, you know, I think a lot of that isn't necessarily, I mean, and people forget, I know he's been around for a long time, but you got to remember, Patrice Bergeron's only 32. He's not your typical, you know, whatever it is, 13 to 14 here. I think when he came in, 03, 04. So, you know, he's not your typical 14, 15-year veteran here. He came in at a young age, and he's just so – he's so veteran-like that you would think he would be Chara's age or something. But he's only 32, so I think that's a great thing that people are forgetting there. I think that's huge because I think once Chara does finally go, I think you see Bergeron – finally get that C. You know, clearly the Bruins have two captains, but one of them has a C and one of them has an A. But I mean, in terms of how they're respected within the dressing room, they're both viewed as captains here. So I think that's a good thing in terms of a nucleus going forward. I get what you're saying. You know, is the window shut? I mean, because some of these other guys are you know, maybe aging a bit. I mean, even Marchand. I mean, Marchand's, what's Marchand? I don't even know off the top of my head.
29 or 30.
Yeah, it's like 29, I think.
Okay, so he's a part of that veteran core, right? So, you know, he's 29. So you got a guy that's 32. You got a guy that's 29. I mean, who are we forgetting here?
Krejci.
You know, Krejci. So Krejci's more leaning, I think, towards, you know, the upper age. He's only 31. So really, age-wise, I'm not too worried about that core in the window shutting. Where I do think the window shuts, guys, and this is something that I thought the Chara signing really, really, I think it showed what I'm about to tell you here, and it showed that it's going to be a big moment coming up in terms of Don Sweeney. We talk about the job he's done and how successful he's been and how he's constructed this roster and sort of this philosophy and approach. But you look at it in – I'm going to pull it up here. I don't have it off the top of my head, but I think the last time I counted, you know, there's like – five guys, I believe, you know, really key young players coming up at the end of their entry-level contracts, not this summer coming up, but in 2019. I believe there's something like five guys, and one of them, of course, is Mr. Charlie McAvoy, who, you know, if he wants, he's going to dictate whatever he wants when it comes to his second contract. And, unfortunately for GMs and teams, but, hey, you know, the Bruins got nobody to blame but themselves because Jeremy Jacobs constructed this salary cap. In the cap era, that's what happens. And so a lot of these kids are going to hit pay dirt in their second contracts, and Sweeney is going to be in a pickle. And that's why I thought it was so interesting. We had heard going into the Chara talks throughout the year, you know, we knew Chara wanted to come back. We knew the Bruins wanted him back. But we kept hearing 2, maybe 3 years, right? It, like 3.5 to 4.5 million. When he goes and he takes a one-year deal at five, right, with incentives, what that told me is that Chara's being a true captain there, and Chara really, I mean, people are going to say, oh, you're saying he's taking one for a team? He's getting $5 million. You shouldn't feel – no, I don't feel sorry for him financially, but what I think he did is I think he really helped out the team there, saying, look, I know you're going to be facing a cap crunch in 2019, and that's why let's just do a year right now, and let's see how it goes, and that way you're not tied into me. What if all of a sudden, you know, Father Time does catch up to me? What if I have an injury and then you're stuck with this contract? There's so many things could happen, and that summer is really going to determine certain in a long way. Sorry, it took so long to get to it, but that's going to circle back to what you were asking. When does that window shut? That window could shut real soon if Don Sweeney isn't able to lock in those guys that are coming up for their second year contracts, or if he isn't able to parlay them into a trade and bring back more young talent. And that's something we could see this summer too, guys. I'm telling you right now, it wasn't going to happen at the trade deadline, but they have definitely listened to offers on Torrey Krug. And that's a guy who I think, because of a guy like Matt Grizzlick, is going to be expendable, and they might have to get rid of his cap hit in order to sign those young players we're talking about.
So it sounds like this could maybe be it for the Bruins. This is the shot with for Char and McAvoy, I guess.
Well, no, this
the way
is
to
next
bundle it to put a title together, to win a title together.
No. This is next year.
Because you said summer of 2019. So
yeah,
this,
so maybe, you got this playoff right now, and you got next year's playoff. Unless, as I said, you know, he's able to trade a guy like Krug, who after this year has got 2 years left at 5.2. So let's say he's able to move that and free up that money, and then, you know, maybe he moves another D-man, you know, and then McQuaid's coming off the books there in 2019, and then Char, as we mentioned, will be off the books. But you're also going to have McAvoy is going to be an RFA, Brandon Carl is going to be an RFA, Danton Heinen's an RFA, and Ryan Donato is an RFA. And if you want to keep some of your depth players, you look at a guy like Noel Akari, who's going to be a UFA that year. So there's going to have to be some movement. So you're right. I mean, this is, you know, they've got two shots at it, but I don't think it's necessarily age that shuts the window. I think it's the salary cap, as we've seen with so many teams. And look at the Chicago Blackhawks now.
Well, a lot at stake for the Bruins this upcoming week, first series of the playoffs. And, Jimmy, you said earlier, right, Leafs in six, that's your pick?
That's my pick, guys. I'm sorry, Bruins fans, but I just – not a good vibe around this team right now. There's something just went away. I don't know I understand the fatigue. I understand that maybe they can re-energize here. But the one thing to keep in mind that nobody's talking about, I haven't seen it anywhere. And my old friend Russ Conway, the legendary Hall of Fame writer, I was on the phone with him this morning. And I had said this, but I never knew the story. So I've been one of the reasons I like the Leafs here and why I didn't want the Bruins to have to play them is because Austin Matthews has only been back for about, 2 weeks? And he had basically a month off. And, yeah, he was nursing an injury, but he's also resting. And, you know, I brought this. I was talking with Russ today, and I said, Matthews is just – he's fresh, you know, and he's probably at that point where, you know, when you come back from an injury, it takes you a week or two, maybe three, to get back to where you need to be and get next. He's right at that point where he's getting into his groove. And he goes, yeah, kind of reminds me of Wayne Gretzky in 1988. Apparently, I didn't realize this, Wayne Gretzky took a month off before the playoffs because he had some injuries he was nursing. He said, look, these guys can handle it. I'm going to shut it down. So he actually shut himself down for a month so he'd be ready for the playoffs. And then, of course, he ripped it up and ended up beating the Bruins that year in the Stanley Cup Finals. So that's the thing. That's the X factor for me right now is a rested, highly skilled Austin Matthews, and that's why I'm picking the Leafs in six.
Well, Bruins fans, if you want to get at Jimmy Murphy for that pick, you can on Twitter at Murphy's Law 74. Of course, you can catch his Bruins content throughout the playoffs at Bruins CLNS on Twitter. Jimmy, thanks for joining us on the show today.
Anytime, guys. Have a good one.
Calling It is brought to you by American Broadcast Coaches, training the next generation of media talent and communicators. For more information, check out AmericanBroadcastCoaches.com.
Welcome back to Calling It, powered by CLNS. You can follow us on Twitter at Calling It Podcast. Alex Parth, Alex Lebowitz, and Jimmy Young now joins us in the studio. Jimmy, you were the first guest on this show. You remember that? Way back when?
Oh, God, yes. I do remember that. I'm old, but I'm not that old. I do remember that.
Yeah, we're talking soccer.
No. I'm talking way back, like the first episode.
Oh, it's up before I came.
Yeah. I think the one we did it in my house's basement.
We did. Yes, we did. But Jimmy's back with us, so we can play a little game called Take Jeopardy. This is the second week in a row we're bringing back a segment. The segments are actually becoming segments.
Wait, what did we do last week?
Didn't we do...
Who's old here?
What was it? On Twitter.
Oh,
Twitter.
Yeah.
Hot takes.
Yeah, hot takes.
So, classic. So this is Take Jeopardy. How it works, because we have so much stuff we want to get to today, and we don't have time to do all of it long form. So we have created a Jeopardy board with five categories. They are Red Sox, Celtics, Patriots, the Masters, and other. Each category is four topics. We will assign 100 through 400 points. We will pick a topic. Each of us will give a take on the topic, and Jimmy will judge not necessarily which take you agree with more, but who formed the better take. And I would hope, as a veteran of I won't give how many years because I know it upsets you,
no,
in sports media, you can do a good job of that.
Yeah. I'm old, but I've got 40 years in. So let's get to it, shall we?
All right. So, we. By the way,
here are the categories. Oh, sorry. We already did that.
We did that. I should have let you do the announcer voice. I missed it. 15 seconds a take.
15
to
seconds?
To keep it quick. Yep. 15 okay. seconds a take. Okay. I'll have a timer. I won last time, so I'll let you pick the first category.
Okay. And this is all off the top of the head, by the way.
All off the top of the head.
We'll go Patriots 100.
Patriots for 100. And the subject is the Cooks trade.
The Cooks trade. I loved it. They traded a 32nd pick to get him. They got a 23rd in return. Clearly wasn't working out, but overall, great deal. They can bulk up in the first couple rounds. They got plenty of picks to use. And I think with a team that needs a lot of – that has a lot of holes to fill – That's a priority.
All
right,
that was
right
like 17 seconds, so I'm going to cut you off there.
Look, I should be the timer.
Cooks, you want to be the timer? Here's my phone.
Gives me one other. I can multitask.
Okay, here's my phone. Tell me when to go.
3, 2, 1.
Look. I think Cooks is a good player. I think if he'd had more time here, he really would have succeeded. People jumped on him way too early. His contract was up, though. They weren't going to bring him back. I like the trade. I like the return, but there's guys who should be traded first, such as Dwayne Allen, Mike Gilsley, those kind of guys.
17 seconds. Notice I gave you both 17 seconds,
okay.
Just to be fair. And the first 100 points, I had dollars. I'm glad this not dollars, Alex Leibowitz, because he gave more facts. He backed up his facts. He knew the draft picks. He was – okay, never mind. Do I have to –
Okay. No, that was good. Okay, all right. You're bored, Leibowitz.
Okay.
It's like honors. You have the T.
Let's go. Let's go. Red Sox 200.
Ooh. Red Sox for 200, and the subject is pitching.
Pitching. Starting rotation's been great. If your worst starter is Eduardo Rodriguez, I don't mind. I think with a guy in Steven Wright who's coming back, they'll have the depth that they need. The reality is they underperformed last year. Price underperformed and Porcello underperformed. I think we're going to see a bounce back year from both those guys.
All right, you talked about the starting rotation. I will talk about the bullpen. As good as the starters have been, they have one loss. They've had to win off of walk-offs twice. There's still no established eighth inning guy. Alex Cora doesn't seem totally sure about what he's doing. They should have re-signed Addison Reed. They need a defined eighth inning arm.
You know, it's funny. Both you guys are doing a great job with opinions. I'm looking for facts.
It's takes.
Back
it takes
up the,
take
I understand it's a take, but the take is better when you back it up with facts. And I'm going to give this one to Alex Barth.
All right.
You want me? I got the scoreboard here.
You got the scoreboard? Yeah. All right. I'll give that to you. All right. Give me – let's stay Red Sox. Let's go Red Sox 400. I want to grab a lead here.
Red Sox for 400. And does this mean that Alex B has the floor?
He has the floor. He goes
okay. Right. And the it's Cora.
So I just sort of talked about it with Alex Cora. It's still a feeling out process. Yes, they are 8-1, but Jackie Bradley Jr. not going out in center field on Sunday when they needed the defensive stops. The ways he's managed Craig Kimbrell, oddly balancing the off days for J.D. Martinez. He still needs to learn what he's doing.
You're gonna be. It's tough. 15 seconds is tough, guys. I'm just saying.
No, it's not supposed to be easy. No one said it was going to be easy.
Okay, and ready, go.
I think you have to be happy with what he's done so far. You can nitpick and look at certain decisions he's made and say, I think he should have done this when he did that. I don't think that matters at this stage. I think he has a good locker room environment going, and he's much better working with players than John Farrell was. That's the priority right now, and he's doing an excellent job of that, in my opinion.
Okay, I forgot to say he's better than Farrell. So
too bad.
I should just go to you.
You lose.
No. I will concede that. I should have brought up John Farrell.
That was a good one. It's an improvement, and it is, the manager is all about the chemistry in the clubhouse, keeping everybody happy because they're all spoiled professional athletes.
Absolutely. I'll go, especially when you consider Farrell and Bogart's relationship after which came out. Other for 300.
Other for 300. Now, this is going to be interesting. WrestleMania. Ready, go.
Do not care at all. It's scripted. There's no storylines I want to get into. I was surprised Gronk didn't show up. That's my take. I thought Gronk would be there and be a leverage move for the offseason. He wasn't. Kind of a dumb move in his, in my opinion, because he has an option there, and he could use it to his advantage.
You stole my take. I was going to talk about Gronk not showing up. I tried to recap as best I could on Twitter. Apparently a 7-year-old won a championship or something.
Ten-year-old.
Wrestling was cool when I was in middle school. I'm so over it. It's weird now. Everybody else needs to just get over it. It's old.
Wow, neither one of you gave any credence to it. It was great entertainment, and Ronda Rousey was the star. Wasn't she
Ronda
the star?
Rousey?
The
star? She did do a good job.
She did do a good job.
I was watching the Masters and the Bruins. It's a tie.
You both stunk. Okay. Sorry.
All right, so that's it. We'll call that a scratch. Okay. All right.
Goes back to me.
Goes back to you.
Let's go Masters. No, that's fair. Let's go Masters 100. We'll go to the top of the
Masters board. For 100, and the subject is... Was it a disappointing Masters?
No, it was pretty tough down the stretch. I think you had three or four guys who were in the mix, and that's really all you can ask for. It was interesting enough to keep me captivated. The only disappointment was that Tiger was not really in the mix. But besides that, it was great golf, great competition. I don't think you can be too disappointed.
So I thought we came up with the categories. Jimmy did the dollars. I thought this was going to be the 400. It was disappointing because of all the buildup. This was Tiger's Masters. This was Tiger's return. He was a non-factor. Phil was a non-factor. Jordan Spieth got into it late, but who the hell cares about Patrick Reed? No, it was boring.
All right. And Alex Barth wins that one hands down. Sorry. That was a simple one because Tiger, you know, what can I tell you?
I
thought Tiger would have made a better showing. The fact that he made the cut, I can live with. But
It was entertaining, but it was disappointing.
People were expecting too much. Right. Your call.
He answered the question.
Show me the board real quick. Let me see what
here
we
is the
here.
Board. We have plenty.
We haven't gone to Celtics yet. Give me Celtics for 200.
Celtics for 200. And it says here, and I believe this has to do with their first round opponent.
Yeah, so I will say, so I honestly don't remember what I remember what the fourth topic is. We'll get to that. Three of them are the three possible first round opponents for the Celtics. Okay.
And in this take, it's the Heat.
All right, the Miami. I would love for them to play the Miami Heat. I want to watch Kelly Olynyk embarrass himself in the playoffs. I think it's the worst team of the three teams they could play. And they've had trouble with them this year, but the Heat have really faded down the stretch. The Celtics can bully the Heat better than they could bully the Wizards or the Bucks. And the Celtics in recent weeks have been bullies.
Okay. All right. That was good. Ready, go.
Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree with that take, honestly. It's a team with really no star power at all. There's no one who's going to outmuscle you on that team. Okay. But you don't have to – I mean, the Greek Freak, obviously you don't want to play him. Bradley Beal is an animal against the Celtics. That would be the best-case scenario for Boston, especially if you look at their records head-to-head.
Okay. I'm going to give it to Barth just because he mentioned Kelly Olynyk, and it makes the most
sense. I hate Kelly Olynyk. If you've listened to the show, you know how much I dislike Kelly Olynyk. All right, let's keep it going, Celtics. Let's go Celtics 100.
Celtics for 100. And I mixed this up. Kawhi Leonard.
All right, so we heard the possibility of Kawhi Leonard being on the trade block. I am out on trading for Kawhi Leonard because if you trade for Kawhi Leonard, it means you're not getting Anthony Davis. That's the guy you really want. I'm not giving up Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown for a guy who can't get on the floor.
Oh, even under 15 seconds. Ready? Go.
You have your young core established. Why mess with it? Unless you can get Anthony Davis or Kawhi Leonard for a steal, then don't do it. You're going to have to give up more than what it's worth. And the window isn't for this year or even next year. It's for the next 3 to 5 years. You have the pieces in place to win in that period.
Okay. I thought you both made great arguments. This is a tough one. I'm going to go with Leibowitz. Sorry.
I'm just going to throw something else on here. Aside from that, because the important thing is to inform the people of our opinions. Mm-hmm. If you already have Kyrie Irving and his injury concerns, why would you add Kawhi Leonard to that? You're basing an awful lot of your team on guys you can't count on to be on the floor.
Yeah, definitely. Let's go. We'll go other for 400.
Other for 400.
Can you not read my handwriting?
It was a challenge, but I got through it. I got through it, okay? It's Giancarlo Stanton on slumping.
Yeah, I'm not going to be too concerned about if I'm a Yankee fan right now. He's still adjusting. But I think it's possible that he is a bust. The guy has an injury history. He's playing in a cold climate in a big market. We don't know if he's really gonna be a guy who can excel in New York City. And right now he's showing that there's some struggles to the adjustment.
So, wait, that was like, I gave you an extra five. So, Alex, you now have 20 seconds. 3, 2, 1, go.
Yeah, I think he's about to go off this week against the Red Sox. You're not going to keep him quiet for long. And if you want to play Red Sox versus Yankees, J.D. Martinez hasn't been as horrible, but he's not making as much. For the dollar, they've both been embarrassments.
No, much more concise, Alex Barth. Good job. And besides, it's April 10th.
Do we want to do a score? Do we want to do a score?
I don't even know what day it is, by the way.
I think it's the 9th. Right? It's
the 9th.
So I'm jumping ahead.
Do we want to get a quick score update?
Okay,
here?
Quick score update. 300, 500, 900, Barth.
All right.
And let's see, 100, 500, 600, 600 me.
All right.
I might be playing favorites.
I shouldn't have gone 400 there.
Last time we almost had a tie, so let's do this. Whoever wins more individual is the tiebreaker.
Okay.
Yeah. I just thought of that. All right. And I didn't say that because I have five and you have
three. I'm glad you guys are friends. Pick another category.
All right. Give me Patriots for 200.
Patriots for 200. And this is kind of a recent thing, but here we go. Gronk, Bill Guerrero. Ready, go.
So I guess Bill Belichick was yelling at Rob Gronkowski because he was slacking off in camp and related it to the TB12 method and the Alex Guerrero treatment. This is going to be a huge story this week, but it shouldn't be. It's a football coach yelling at a player. Get over it. I know it's the offseason. I know we need takes, but please.
Wow. Okay. In 3, 2, 1, go.
It's clear that there's a pattern of players really starting to get sick of Bill Belichick, and that's something to be worried about. When Tom Brady starts to get sick of you, there's a problem in-house. And with this report coming out, I think Patriots fans should be concerned that he is losing a lot of that locker room. The two most important players don't like him right now.
On the counter, couldn't you say it's a problem if as a player, if you're getting sick of Belichick?
You could say that, but I think the numbers speak for itself.
The door is right there. I just want to say. We're on to the door. You know what I'm saying, guys?
I got you.
The door's on. If you don't want to be here, the door's there. You get it. All right, that's my take.
So I won that one. You handed the
I
that
saw me? That.
Actually,
that?
I made you both laugh, so I won that one. Okay. No, Alex, go ahead.
Okay, let's go other for 200.
Alex, L. Do I call you L and B? That'd be a lot easier.
Well, back in college, it was Leibowitz and Barth. There were no first names.
Yeah, no first names.
So we'll do L and B. I'm assuming at this point your audience knows who the heck you guys are. All right, what's next?
Audience of five.
That's all right.
Actually, let's go Masters for 200.
Masters for 200, and the answer is, wait, Patrick Reed. Wait, you can't answer that yet because I pushed the wrong button because I'm techno-challenged, and Alex will fix it for me. Thank you very much. It's not my fault. Now I'm in the time.
You put him in the wrong place now.
I got it. Here we go. In 3, 2, 1, go.
Boring. He's so boring, and he's horrible for golf. I didn't want him to win just because I didn't like anything about him. I was hoping it would be Spieth or Fowler. At least they have some personality. Reed being good at golf is not good for golf. He's awful. He's boring.
Wow.
It was a very doughy top of the leaderboard, so it's only right that Patrick Reed wins. Look, from everything I read about the guy, he's a jerk, he's an asshole, he's a miserable person, he's easy to hate. I can get behind that, and the Champions Dinner next year better be a buffet.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's great.
Barth wins that.
That was all.
Sure.
I mean, that was all
he
over
wins
Twitter.
That
I think
great.
A lot of people thought that. But
that's funny. Okay.
All right. Let's go back to the Red Sox. Let's go Red Sox 100.
Red Sox 100. Okay. It's a layup. It's Xander Bogaerts.
Oh, boy. I really hope that injury is not serious. By the time you're listening to this, we may already know what's going on. But a bad throw by J.D. Martinez, a bad cut by Rafael Devers. This guy's been the best bat in their lineup. We'll see if he can do it for a full season. He rarely has. But you got to take better care of your superstar.
All right. That was under 15. Ready? Wait. Ready? Go.
Yeah, this is a guy who got hit in the wrist last year and affect him the rest of the entire season. To see him go down this early on is worrisome. I think that he's one of the biggest pieces to this team this year. His success is as important as anyone else's success. So him being out is definitely cause for concern.
I give that one to Leibowitz. Good job.
Back and forth.
That's
right.
Let's go other.
Teeter-totter.
Let's go other for 200.
Other for 200. And the answer is GGG versus Canelo canceled. I have no idea.
Okay, so a little background. This is boxing.
Oh, wait.
Gennady Golovkin fought Canelo Alvarez last year. It was a great fight. Controversial ending on the card. Triple G won to stay undefeated. They were supposed to have a rematch at the beginning of May. Canelo tested positive for PEDs. The fight is now off. This was supposed to be a fight that people said would kind of give bring boxing back into the... This wasn't my take. This was just background.
That was just background.
This was supposed to be a fight that would bring boxing back into prominence, and now it's off, and a lot of people in the boxing world are concerned.
Now you really are ready to go. Okay, now, three.
There's the background.
Two, one.
There's a real substance abuse problem with any fighting. The UFC has dealt with it with John Bones Jones. Boxing has dealt with it a ton. Why can't we just see fighters fight clean? It's really becoming an epidemic in combat sports, and I think it's going to drive some people away when the main card keeps testing positive.
Floyd's got to come back. He's been talking about making a comeback. He needs to fight Triple G. He's the only person that wants to fight him. He's the only person that'll be a good fight. You're either going to get these roided up fighters or guys who just aren't good. We need Triple G and Mayweather. That's the fight that's going to save boxing.
All right, I'm giving it to Alex B on that one. Oops, sorry. I meant to give it to you. Well, whatever. Alex B on the take.
Well, wait, Jimmy, real quick here. Yeah. Back when you were covering sports, not to make you feel old, boxing was in its heyday. Can boxing get back?
I hope so, because I do miss it. I really do. I actually have watched a bout here and there, and do find it still a compelling sport, and I hope it can come back. I wish I could throw it out some kind of a take that would make you feel comfortable about it. I don't want to see Grandpa Floyd anywhere near the ring anymore.
I want to see him get his ass beat. He needs it.
Well, he doesn't need the money. Let's just go right there.
And he's not going to take a fight unless he knows he's going to win it. You're not going to see him.
All right. That's right. Let's go other for 100. We'll finish off the other category.
Good take, Alex. Good take. What's now, Mr. Barth, 100?
Yep, 100. Finish off other.
Oh, this is great. Conor McGregor.
Okay, that was awesome what Conor McGregor did. That was what the UFC needed. And I'll go back to Floyd Mayweather. He talked about maybe going into the UFC. Floyd Mayweather, Conor McGregor, UFC fight in a prison. The winner gets to leave. The loser has to serve Conor McGregor's sentence.
Okay. That was actually a pretty good take, but of course I was not. Okay, ready? 3, 2, 1, go.
He always has to be the center of attention, which I get. He's the most marketable guy for a reason. It's beyond his talent. It's how much he hypes himself. But this was over the top. Someone could have really gotten hurt, and I don't think we should be embracing a guy who's trying to shatter windows and buses and hurt people who aren't even involved in the controversy.
But WrestleMania got how many views last night?
It's scripted. Everyone knows.
And how do you get hurt if you're in the bus and
the glass shattered? Someone got glass in their cornea.
Okay, fair enough.
And their career can be ended because of it.
Sounds like it's the bus's fault. Anyway, roid rage. Go ahead.
Who won?
Oh, I have to actually decide which one of you guys made that point?
That's why you're in here.
I know. Leibowitz.
All right. I don't have the...
did I blow it up? Here. There it is.
All right.
We got to pick a 400 eventually, right?
Who won?
Yeah.
Let's go Patriots for 400.
I'm just listening to you guys. Oh, yeah.
I'm glad somebody enjoys the show.
All right, Patriots for 400?
Yep.
And non-quarterback draft.
So, I mean, they need to get a quarterback. That's obvious. But the positions they should target, linebacker and cornerback, that's it. And maybe even tight end. If they go for another wide receiver or if they go for an offensive lineman, they could do that too. But I feel like they're going to get too cute with it.
And
I'm starting to think more and more based on stuff that I read and hear that they're going to draft a wide receiver high. And they shouldn't do that. Belichick can't evaluate the position. We've seen the Aaron Dobsons. We've seen the Chad Jacksons. Linebacker, left tackle, corner, quarterback, in whatever order. Those should be the first four picks.
Mr. Barth wins that round.
All right.
Pick another one.
Let's go Celtics 400.
Celtics for 400. The Wizards.
All right, this would probably be the most fun playoff series. I know these two teams don't like each other. We know that. I think this is the highest chance of any of them to go 7. That being said, John Wall against the Celtics when they don't have Kyrie Irving is very concerning for me as a Celtics fan.
That was good. And next.
I'm as concerned about Bradley Beal as I am John Wall. Bradley Beal tears up the Celtics every time he goes up against them. And I think given the point guard matchup on top of that, it would be difficult. I think the Celtics would probably lose a series against them with the roster as is.
Good job, Mr. Leibowitz. Well done.
And I didn't even think of Bradley. That's a good point.
See that? And you even gave it in. You threw in the towel before that.
No, I did. Sometimes you just know. Sometimes, you know, you gotta tip your cap.
All right.
Masters 400.
Masters for 400. Tiger the Woods.
People got too excited from the start. I want to see him compete for a major before I really start to buy in. He's had a good run, but he's not what he used to be. The guy's worn out, and I don't think he's ever going to get to that point. It's the fans' fault for getting too hyped about this Masters.
We all love to see him. Okay, and go.
I mean, I think Eldrick had a good day four, but at the end of the day, he's got to be able to put together four full rounds. Generally, it's been the other way around, where the first three will be fine. He falters on day four. This was the opposite. Hopefully, he competes in the other three majors. I still want to see him win one. My question is, who wins the next one, him or Ricky Fowler?
Alex Barth wins that one.
I will see Ricky win a major, by the way. I'm convinced that
will happen. Eventually. He's certainly the best player not to win one.
He was the first ever player to come in top five, to finish top five in all four majors in the same year and not win one of them.
The take is over, but that was a good one.
It's just you wanted more facts. That's
no, but
fact.
It wasn't on Ricky Fowler. It was on Tiger Woods. Go ahead.
Hang on. Before we go on, we got four 300s left. So, Lebowitz, if you want to add it up real quick.
Because this could be a tight race.
Right. I think it is. If you have any just takes, give a soccer take while Lebowitz is counting that up.
Christian Pulisic scored an amazing goal this past weekend that he admitted it was supposed to be a cross, but it literally found its way to the back of the net, far corner, over the goalkeeper's head. And I tell you, every time that kid does something, I wish he would be playing in the World Cup.
Yeah, if only he was in the World Cup,
but
people
I'm
care.
Glad he's not, because he's 20 and he'll be better in 4 years.
So it's 2,100 to 1,400. You're winning, but it's 8-7 if you're just going by individual.
Okay, Interesting. So you need a little bit of a run here, but it's still possible.
Yeah.
Okay.
How much do you need?
I need 600.
All right, so you got four.
No, I need 700 tied up.
700 and there's 1,200 left on the board. All right, here we go.
All right.
Give me Masters for 300.
Masters for 300. Jordan Spieth. Uh-oh, wait. Do not go yet. Hang on. I actually know how to do this. I know how to. What's because your darn phone goes to sleep. Do you know how to keep it awake all the time?
Give it sugar and caffeine.
All right. Good answer. Good take. Give him an extra 10. No, I'm only kidding.
Jordan Spieth was – he had a great day four, but he was non-existent for a three. I still think he's haunted by that collapse a couple of years ago. Charging back, that should help his confidence in going forward, but he's never been the same golfer to me. And he's won a major since, but he's never been the same golfer. He's never played with the same raw confidence since.
Okay, Jordan Spieth, go.
The first three rounds weren't great, but I don't know how you can say he's still choking when on the fourth round he came back and had and got back into it and made the Masters competitive that final day. I think that's the main storyline for Sunday.
I don't think he choked. He hasn't played with the same confidence. That's fine, but
all right, so you're wrong, and I explain real quick. Did you know that Jordan Spieth has either been in the lead or had the best score of the day? And I believe it is now 10 out of 18 rounds that he's played on that course. Do you know how many times that same stat for Tiger? Okay, it's like 10 out of like 80. So what that tells you more than anything else is Jordan Spieth is made to win Masters.
No, I saw something that he's competed against 583 golfers in the Masters. 14 of those golfers have beat him, but he's still only got one green jacket.
He'll get more. He's
you know who else has one green jacket? Patrick Reed.
Let's go Red Sox
Danny
300.
Willard. Okay, what's that?
Red Sox 300.
Red Sox for 300. Comebacks.
It's been great to watch, but they did the same thing last year. They came back, especially in the beginning of the season. They won a lot of extra inning games. And let's not forget, they played the Rays and the Marlins. I don't want to get too hyped on them coming back and beating up on good pitching, bad pitching. Let's wait and see what they do against the Yankees this weekend.
Yeah, I'm with you right there. University of Florida is the number one college baseball ranked team in the country right now. They could beat Miami or Tampa Bay. The bats were stunned. They had one hit in eight innings against Tampa in the home opener before they came back and won that. They're still too cold for too long of stretches for me to get that confident.
This is a tough one.
Do I get any points for knowing the top-ranked college baseball team in the country?
I'm going to give it to Barth.
Oh.
I think that may put him over the top.
That might.
All right. We only have two questions left. They're both 300s.
Let's go Celtics 300.
It's going to be Bucks.
And it's the Bucks.
This is the team that has the best chance to beat the Celtics because Giannis kills them. They match up with them so well. I'll leave it at that. Giannis scares the hell out of me.
But that's 8 seconds. You're done. Wow. Okay, go.
I think there's an advantage for Brad Stevens with the roster he has at hand because most teams are used to seeing him play with Kyrie Irving on that team. He doesn't have him. He's going to get creative, and I think he's going to give the Bucks some trouble if they end up playing a Milwaukee.
All right, so I'm going to give it to Leibowitz.
All right, so I think this is for the tie here, right?
So I think it's 24 to 2. Do you want to make this 400 because I'm down 400?
We'll make this 400, okay. Sure. We'll make this 400.
All right, it's Patriots for 400 and quarterback draft thoughts.
I want to see them get a quarterback within the first two rounds. I think given the fact that Brady's window's closing, you don't have a backup in Garoppolo, it's a must. You need to develop someone now so the Patriots aren't the Browns in 3 years. I think it's as important as anything in this upcoming draft.
All right, so ever since the Patriots traded up, I've been watching a lot of tape. Mason Rudolph is the guy for me. He has the ability to throw the ball to all fields. He's very athletic in the pocket. He can hit the throw to the sideline on the 10-yard out, the 12-yard out, the 15-yard out, and his deep ball is a thing of beauty. They're not going to get Mason Rudolph's the guy they got to get.
Wasn't there an old NBA referee named Mason Rudolph? We may have to
you would
go
that.
After Google. That's why I'm thinking. You know, I'm giving it to Barth, though.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah,
I've seen Mason Rudolph, his film. I think he's good. I don't think he's great. He doesn't really stick out to me. I don't think he's a guy you really take a chance on. There probably is that guy in this draft.
I mean, there is, but they're not going to trade out. They're not going to be able to go up and get Rosen.
Probably not, no. And I mean, the only thing that could happen potentially is if Baker Mayfield falls down to the 20s.
I love that.
I think that's the best bet for him. All right, so Barth wins.
Mindy Rudolph was the referee, just for the record. Mindy Rudolph, and that came to me without asking Google, I might add.
All right,
still
so a little bit of every. We may have to put a picture of Mindy Rudolph in in the show image to get started. All right, well, fun episode of Take Jeopardy. Thank you very much, Jimmy, for coming and sitting in on the third mic today.
Anytime. I just happen to be in the neighborhood, as you know.
All right, so next week we will have the Celtics. It won't necessarily be a preview because the series will have started, but it will still be early in the series. We will talk more Red Sox as well, and, of course, Bruins and Patriots.
You didn't even mention the Bruins on here.
We did. That was the first segment. Okay, we had Jimmy Murphy CLNS on.
My bad. A full segment.
Sorry, I didn't take the whole take.
Thanks to Jimmy for coming on earlier as well. You can check out more episodes of the show on clnsmedia.com. Follow CLNS on Twitter at clnsmedia. Follow our show as well at Calling the Podcast. For Alex Lebowitz, Jimmy Young, Jimmy Murphy earlier, thanks to him. I'm Alex Barr. Thanks for watching. We'll talk to you next time.